Hello, friends. I am laughing because I have done this intro like three times. And sometimes I'm like, welcome. You are listening to the Mombra podcast. And sometimes I'm like, hi, friends. Welcome back. And I really did not know what was about to come out of my mouth right there. And I'm just going to keep it. So, hello, friends. Welcome. You are listening to the Mombra podcast. I am your host, Mary Susan McConnell. In case this is your first time tuning in to the Mom Bear podcast, this is a place that I created because I am the mom to a beautiful little girl who's 7 years old, my daughter, Abiella, we call her AB, who has profound special needs. We have an amazing wheelchair. We have head switches. We're technically considered nonverbal. We look different ways for yeses or nos. We have a feeding tube. I sometimes just reiterate these things to give people an idea so that when I'm speaking, you know what, kind of a little bit of where I'm speaking from. We have some sensory challenges, and AB is by far the happiest human being I have ever known. And she continues, as my husband puts it, to be our little teacher, in the house. She is just unreal. And she is currently out in her jogger. We got a jogger this year. We bit the bullet. It's one of those that an adult could sit in. And she's out running with my husband, Sean. So I am in my secret office right now. I am kind of laughing. Oh, this is really funny. My phone just went off and it's a text and it says, can we come in? Because my office is, you'll hear them come in. So I'm going to pause it and be back, and I'm going to keep this. I'm going to just use it for a natural moment for my awesome music to come in. So here we go. All right. They just rolled on by my door, yelled in that it was a lot of fun, and now I am back. So here I am. I was saying that this is a place that I've created because as the mom to my daughter, AB, I know the importance that connecting with other women, what value that has held for me. And so I created this space for women who are raising kids with special needs of any age, any diagnosis, to come together and just talk about our lives. My hope, and I say this every time, is that you will feel like you are hanging out on my back porch, having a beverage of your choice, just relaxing with some friends, and that you will feel that connection of relief. I typically interview other moms who are raising kids with a variety of different stories, a ton of different backgrounds and paths, and we often talk about a specific topic. And every fourth or fifth episode, I like to do one on my own. And it's normally about something I'm either really passionate about, or in this case, it is a follow-up episode to episode 11. And episode 11 was Hospital Hacks, how to maintain your sanity during hospital stays with your child. And my good friend Allison Bynum was on that episode with me, and we had so much fun chatting about the things that we had learned, the tips and tricks that we had gained through experience of being at the hospital with our kids, everything from very practical to just kind of fun. And I had so much fun. So if you haven't heard that, you may want to go back and listen to episode 11. But one thing we both recognized was that we knew a lot of the people listening would have their own hospital hacks, and we were super interested in learning from others. So we kind of just put out an all call to send me your own ways that you maintain your sanity. And for the past few weeks, I've just been getting a steady stream of ideas from listeners, and it has been so much fun. And I have been in awe of the very smart, practical, brilliant tips that have come in. And I have also laughed really, really hard. And let's hop into it. Let me say, while you're listening, I'll give you a little background of what's happening at the moment here in my secret office. And that is, and if you're new here, I reference what that means in episode one, but that is the fact that as I speak to you, my skin is getting more and more tan. It's this very odd phenomenon that I'm watching happening about once a year, maybe twice if I have an event or something, I get a spray tan. It's like my really, it's my treat. It's like the thing I really love to have. And for those of you who are familiar with spray tans, and maybe, I mean, I've only gone to one person the whole time I've ever gotten spray tans. First time I got one, I was over 30, you know, I was in my 30s. So I don't really know how all spray tans work, but at least in my case, it gets darker, like it gets progressively darker for the next 10 hours. And then you shower. And then when you shower, like it all comes off except what's a reasonable amount. And as it gets darker, I always laugh because you really have to plan your day out. It's like, God forbid you have a business meeting on like hour 8. You know, that's not going to be, that's not going to be a winner. That's going to be a hard moment. You know, it's just like getting comically dark. And so that's where I am right now. So as I'm speaking, feel free to just picture me getting more and more tan to a ridiculous level. And let's get into it. Here we go. All right. These are in no particular order. And because I do not trust myself to know who wants to be anonymous and who doesn't, they're all going to be anonymous. So if you hear one that you sent in, I so greatly appreciate it. Thank you so very much. And I am going to start with this one. Buy a cheap coffee maker for your room so you don't have to leave to go to the family lounge or the cafeteria. I love this. Where we are at our hospital, typically there is like a coffee station within maybe 5 steps of your room. And it has like a glass window that looks into the nurse's area. So I kind of use that time as a respite to go get coffee. But I am telling you what, if the coffee was on another floor or maybe 10 steps away, I would not be doing that. I would be doing this exact thing, which is bring your own coffee maker. So I think that is brilliant. All right, here's another. Bring an extra long phone cord or extension cord with extra outlets. Amen. I have never done that, but now it will be in the forefront of my brain because I am constantly like, once you get settled, if you're like me, then you're like, okay, where does my phone charger go? Where can it be so at night I can reach my phone, that I'm not unplugging anything important? All those things. So that is such a smart idea to get one of those really super long cords or just bring an extension cord because then you could like charge your iPad and all your gizmos and all your gadgets. I love it. All right. Here is another. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. This is just so smart, which is clothes. Let's talk about clothes. All right. I change my clothes every morning and night, but often it's just different lounge type clothes. It helps me mark the days. I also keep one outfit back to wear home. If the stay gets really long, you'll be glad you reserved one clean outfit. This is so smart for so many reasons. One, I love, yes, marking the days. It's like from one lounge outfit to the next, from one sweatshirt to the next, from one hoodie to the next. But also, the idea of keeping one outfit that you know you're going to wear home, and I think I would do this, you know, a lot of us probably do this for our kids too. I think there's something like psychologically beneficial about that, to look in your bag and be like, nope, that's the one we're wearing when we're leaving, because that's what's going to happen. We will be leaving. There will be a moment when this season ends, and I think that's so good. That's so beneficial. So I love that. All right, here's another. In a teaching hospital, it is okay to close your eyes for a nap, even if you aren't sleeping. Amen. And not talk to every person that walks through the door. Sometimes we need rest to survive long days. Oh my gosh. I am always saying this. Whenever I have friends that are in the hospital, one of my greatest questions is, are you resting? Are you finding any time to sleep? Is there any way you're doing that? And how can we make that happen? Because when your battery runs low, then your brain power is running low. Your emotions are on high gear. It's just hard. So I love this idea of just being like, you know what? I don't have to talk to every single person. And here's another thing. You can keep your eyes closed. And I love how they said, you don't even have to be sleeping. But you know what? I can pretend to sleep like the best of them. So I love that. All right. Here is another. Build positive relationships with those in charge. Figure out who gets things done and get to know them. Nurses can be super helpful in navigating the levels in a teaching hospital. So true, because that can be confusing. If you hit a roadblock, go speak to one of them and kindly ask for their help. My favorite question to ask staff, especially the nurses and tech aides, is what got you into healthcare? I've heard so many amazing stories, and often it opens the conversation to how we became a medical family as well. I've gotten to see many residents go through their years at our hospital, as well as aides becoming nurses. Those are special moments. I love that. I love that so much because I really do feel, I was just talking about this to somebody else, and I'm not a nurse, but I think this goes along for anybody. I mean, when I used to be a teacher, I felt this way. Like, when somebody's asking you about your life and somebody's investing in how was your day, how was your night, what got you into this? Like, I love that question, what got you into healthcare? I'm going to try to remember that. Then they are invested in your story as well, and it becomes just a relationship. And when you have a connection like that, you want, people naturally want to help people. And when you feel a connection, it's going to just help the whole situation, the whole time just be easier. And so I love that question. What got you into healthcare? That's great. Okay, here is another one. Oh yeah, this is just great. So the backstory of this before I read it is that in episode 11, Allison mentioned that she likes to put hair bows in her daughter's hair when they're in the hospital. And she feels like it kind of reminds the staff there that, yes, this is a little girl who does not want to be in a hospital bed. You know, it just reminds you that, yes, they have a life outside of this room. And so one thing we had said, because I agreed, I said I'd do the same thing with AB. I put pretty headbands in her hair. And while I'm there, I try to do her hair you know, if possible, like I think Allison had mentioned painting nails and things like that. But we both were saying, okay, what do boy moms do? You know, that what's the equivalent of that if they don't necessarily want a hair bow? And I love this, so I'm going to read it. First off, I agree a million times about the whole hair bow combo. I always send my daughter into the OR with a headband. I think it goes a long way when staff can see this child as a treasure. As a boy mama of a complex kiddo too, I carry out the same idea. It might be fun socks, a colorful blanket, a stuffed animal, something that gives staff an easy way to make conversation and connect. Again, I love that because one thing that Alice and I were talking about was that sometimes, especially if your child is nonverbal, people want to connect, but they don't necessarily know what to say or what to ask when you feel like, am I putting this child on the spot because they won't be speaking back to me? And, you know, what does that look like? And I think when our kids are in, have a fun hair bow or have funky socks or have cool bracelets on, it gives people a really immediate thing to say. Like, oh, I like your socks. Oh, I like your hair bow. Oh, you know, where did you get your bracelets? And those kinds of questions, at least in our case, we were saying we really feel like our girls light up when they're getting noticed, and you know, those kinds of conversations make them happy. And so I love that yes, those kinds of things, even if it's a really fun blanket or a stuffed animal, that it does open a way for people to connect. Okay, this one here I have just been blown away by because it's so simple, but it makes so much sense. And I think I'm gonna have it always in my brain now. She said, another thing I've started doing is to pack a family photo and have something handy of what your child looks like at baseline. I found these to be effective as staff was trying to determine how much pain, et cetera, my child was in. The family photo shows these kids belong and the hospital stay is affecting the entire family. Our providers have gotten to be quick to send us home as soon as we both agree the child is stable enough. Such a blessing. I love this for so many reasons, and I think I'm going to find a printed picture, like a current one of AB, like in her happy, healthy, excited state, maybe with her families or family members or cousins or friends or teachers, and frame it and have it ready to go every time. If we're going to the hospital, and I know some of you mentioned, including Allison in episode 11, that you have a like an emergency bag ready to go. I love that idea of just having a framed photo in that bag that you can prop up next to the bed. And it does remind the staff that this child has a family they want to return to. They have siblings who want the child home, or they have parents that are ready to get this child back in their bedroom and back to their life and back to their school and all those things. And it's also just, I love that idea of having a picture of baseline, because I know when we've had surgeries or hard moments in the hospital, some of these doctors have never met our child. And so because of her special needs, it's kind of hard for them to know what is baseline. Like, and so they'll say to us, what do you think? Like, do you think she's in pain? Like, how sedated do you think she feels? How do you think she's recovering right now? Because when those typical questions of how do you feel, rate your pain from 1 to 10, is it a smiley face, a sad face, all those things, when you can't get those answers, you really are relying on the parent to try to explain what baseline is. And if you can have a picture right there, and I think the picture printed may be more powerful than just showing somebody your phone. I think if it's just sitting there, people are constantly going to know, okay, that's where we need to get to. That's where we want our child to be. That's where we need this patient to go back to. You know, sometimes I've shown nurses videos of AB laughing and they're like, what? You know, because they're just seeing a child very sedated, in a lot of pain, nonverbal with a feeding tube. You know, they're kind of seeing the lowest moments and they don't know what the high moments are. They don't really know what we're shooting for. And so I just love that. I love, love, love that. What a great, great idea. These are amazing. Okay, here's another. A soft blanket from home for mom and dad or whoever is staying. And I bring my own pillow. The hospital bedding is starchy and stiff. Something from home means a lot when the stay gets long. Again, I love that. I often bring blankets for AB, so she has something familiar in her bed. But man, so true. It's like worth the extra bag or whatever you have to bring to have your own stuff so that you also can be comfortable. Because my gosh, like I said, rest, 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 rest. And you know, your own blanket and your own pillow are part of that. I love that. All right. Find any real food options on the menu. Real food is in quotations. It took me a couple of stays to learn to work the menu. I don't even mind eating the same lunch every day if it's real and tasty food. I love that. I am a big fan of the Ben and Jerry's in the cafeteria of our hospital. Okay, I'm reading some of these and they're just getting me tickled. The one I'm going to read at the end, every time I see it in my stack here, I can't laugh. If you've looked at the title of this podcast, then you can imagine what's coming. All right, here's another. Gosh, these are just good. Utilize the hospital social worker. They can be the mediator if there are issues. They most often know the doctors personally. They know how the hospital system works. They also have a ton of resources like meal tickets, parking vouchers, toiletry kits. You just have to ask. Such good advice. Like, there are these resources in the hospital that a lot of us just don't know to ask for. Or, you know, sometimes in the hospital elevator, you may see, if yours is anything like ours, where there's kind of a calendar of like, this is going to be in the children's theater, this is going to be happening, this is going to be happening. Well, you're not in the elevator every day. And most of the time, at least for me, when I am in the elevator, I'm not looking for things to do. I am just really trying to get from point A to point B. So I love this idea of kind of once you get settled, figure out what's available. I love that. Utilize the child life department to help make your child's hospital stay easier. They can bring toys and art supplies and sometimes have events running like dog therapy and music therapy. Sign me up for that. That's another thing I'm going to start asking for is there a dog in the building? Because I know that AB would love the dog, but I also know that I would love the dog. So bring us the dogs. and again, this amazing mama also said, I always bring a pillow and a blanket for myself. It's kind of cumbersome, but it's so worth it. So So true. Okay. I am having a ball looking at this last one. And this is the one that I saw it live. I saw it happen. This woman, this mom, posted this on Facebook about 5 years ago. She's a friend of mine. And I saw her post it then and got really tickled. And then when she heard this episode and knew I was taking submissions, she sent me a screenshot of that post from 5 years ago. And it is just as funny to me as it was then. So a little backstory. She wrote this so you would have some context. At our hospital, all patient rooms have their own bathroom and shower, except for the intensive care floor. Same here. That floor has a communal shower. So when feeling like you are doing the walk of shame to the communal shower and your exhausted bedhead stiff back from sleeping on a rock-hard pull-out state, always in caps, hold tight to your undies. And then her status from 5 years ago says, that moment when you are getting dressed in the communal shower bathroom, when you realize you don't have any underwear, and you just start praying that you forgot to take it with you, because if you dropped it as you walked past the nurses, you would probably just die. Hashtag not checking the lost and found for my undies. I am laughing so hard at that because I can so see the scene, and I can see like what kind nurse saw this happen and just decided to quietly pick them up, discard of them, because like, what's the answer? You can't like, when someone's walking back by, you can't be like, were you missing these? Are these yours? Like there's no good way. You can't like sneak them back into the room and put them on their bag because that's crazy creepy. Like there's just nothing you can do besides just toss them. So I just think that is hilarious. So yes, hold tight to your undies, friends. Hold tight to your undies. And also, we're the same thing. Like, why? First of all, I am so grateful for, in our hospital, all the rooms. You get your own shower and your own bath, you know, your own bathroom, your own toilet. Thank God. Thank God. Like, what a gift. What a phenomenal gift. Because, you know, healthcare is just such a privilege. So I'm just so, so grateful for that. And if you've ever listened to episode one, you know that when we finally got to a hospital, because our daughter is adopted. When we finally got to a hospital in the States, it was just like, hallelujah, what is going on? This is such a gift. But I will say it boggles me, and I'm sure that the logistics have to do with all the equipment and having to rearrange spaces, and you never know what's coming in. I don't know, I'm making guesses. But the ICU floor, it's like, man, there's one floor that you wish there was a bed in there. Like in the other rooms, we have pull-out couches. And those you don't, you have like a recliner. If there's one room that you wish you could have your own bathroom, it is the ICU floor. It really is. But again, I'm not complaining. I am very, very grateful. Very, very grateful. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for sending these in. I have learned so much. Who knows? Maybe we'll do a volume 3 because they just... You're just too damn good. I'm going to say, let's see, where are we? We're about 25 minutes in, and my tan is darker. It is darker, y'all. Okay, I'm going to hop off here, but I want to say how grateful I am. Thank you for being here. Thank you for making these 14 episodes such a blast. I cannot wait to keep bringing you more. I am looking at my whiteboard. I have a very fancy system of whiteboards and 8x10 sheets tacked up to my wall with post-it notes of people who I'm going to interview, people who I have interviewed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I cannot tell you how excited I am for all these interviews coming up. You are in for a treat. I can't wait to bring you another episode on Monday. And if you would like to hang out with me in between episodes, there are a few ways you could do that, and I would love for you to hop on over. One is through my newsletter. If you go to my website, themamabearsite.com, themamabearsite.com, a screen will pop up, and you can put in your email, and it will give you immediate discount code to my Mama Bear shop, which has some really fun hoodies and baseball tees and Razorback tanks and hats and all sorts of things for mama bears, kids, even papa bears that I have designed and that I just really, really love. So that's a way to get the newsletter. Go to my site, and the newsletter is weekly updates. I tell you a little bit about what's going on in our world, along with the info, a little sneak peek about what's coming out in the next podcast. So those go out every Friday. I have a blast. That's one of the last things I do on a Friday. I sit down on my back porch, normally around 4 p.m., and I write it in real time and hit send. And I just have a ball with that. So you can do that. Another way to find me is on Instagram. So I'm very active there. I'm not as active on Facebook. But on Instagram, I like to post quite a few stories a day, and I just really like hanging out over there. So I can be found at Mary Susan McConnell, MarySusanMcConnell. And guys, thanks for hanging out with me. I have had so much fun. Thank you for sending in your hospital hacks. I would so appreciate it if you would be willing to scroll down and leave a happy rating and review. It helps with a million things, including the searchability. And I am always so touched when I get emails or messages from women who are in hospital stays or other just kind of hard moments or even not so hard moments, and they are just listening and connecting through the phone, through the speakers, and feeling better every week. And they are finding that because of the ratings, because the reviews you're leaving, and because for those of you who have been sharing again and again, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate it. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing on Facebook, for sharing on Instagram and tagging me. It's just such a gift to me. And it really does help this thing grow. And I believe in this, and I believe in the power of hearing other people's stories. So that's how it gets out there, is y'all sharing it. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I cannot wait to bring you an incredible interview with an unbelievably badass woman next Monday. All right, bye-bye.